I'm Jason Albert, and you are listening to the Faster Skier Podcast. This is the second episode of a two-part interview with Marty Hall. In this episode, we'll hear Hall's thoughts about the recent WADA report and the current state of World Cup skiing. But first, a quick refresher, if it's been a bit. Here's how Hall concluded episode one.
So I'm a tough guy. You will hear it straight from me. There's no politicking. I hate politics. A lot of my writing, stuff that I do is good, complimentary, but when you cross over and do something stupid, you're going to hear about it.
I didn't ease into the conversation. I started by asking Hall about the 2002 Winter Olympics. I brought up the men's 50K. The gold was initially won by Johann Mulig, who was eventually stripped of the medal. We went to the Salt Lake Games in 2002 and watched the men's 50K and the women's 30K. And from a visual standpoint, it was fairly obvious to me that Mulig, who was literally frothing at the mouth.
Do you know what? That is so frigging embarrassing. Embarrassing. There you are, and he thought he was going to get away with that. My God, not only does he look dumb, he is dumb.
Both the control mechanisms and the doping methods have become really sophisticated, and the testing go ahead.
That's what I was saying to you, Jason, earlier. This is business, money, politics. Our country's the best, blah, blah, all that stuff. I mean, the money. I mean, if you go through this commission, this is – okay, so I'm going to – so if you want to know about this, there's a book that you can read called Faust's Gold, F-A-U-S-T apostrophe S, Gold, Inside the German, East German Doping Machine, written by Ungerleiter. You want to read that book and you will be so sick, upset, what they did to those women, especially in East Germany. But it's all dedicated. There's no professional doctor. I mean, it's the guys. I mean, if I know it back in the 70s, Samaranch, Hodler, they know it. Those are guys that are running those sports. They've got all kinds of contacts. They got people inside and outside the sport. And if they don't know it, then they're drinking too much wine. They have to know it.
What was your gut reaction when, I'm presuming you read the news about this report?
You know what my first reaction is? I said, I read the thing and I said, holy cow, they got them. They really got them. They did it the right way. But you know what I'm worried about now? They'll let them off the hook. Every one of those son of a biscuits should be cooked. Out, gone, life, gone. That's how I feel.
And how do you?
They have, those people are manipulating. I mean, I haven't had a chance to read, I've glanced through it, read here, read there, and, they don't care about those people that they're giving those drugs to. First of all, they're ripping them off for money. Taking money from them, gobs of money. I don't know where they're getting it all. And some athletes make good money, but not that kind of money. I mean, so they.
Was there anything specific?
Go ahead.
Was there anything specific about it that surprised you about this systematic approach to it?
No. That doesn't bother. You know what? The longevity. The longevity. How long it's been going on for? My God. Do you realize that good athletes who? I mean, those Stepanova and her husband. I'll be surprised if they're alive in 2 or 3 years. They'll get in a car accident or something that happened to them. I'm surprised that something has. Well, it can't happen right away, but I. They're gonna pay for that somehow. They're going to pay for that.
Did you watch, I'm assuming you watched the Sochi games on television?
Yep.
Do you have any thoughts about the men's 50K? You recall those results?
Yes, I do. 1, 2, 3.
Yep. And there was like buzz and chatter about xenon gas at the time.
Okay. Yeah. So, and you know, that's one that slipped through the boards on the doping people. I don't know that much about it. But what they did is possible from the point of view of, well, you saw what happened in the ladies 10K in Falun.
Mm-hmm.
With the two medals.
Yep.
Okay. And you could say, well, you know, wax. But the results, and they can talk about the snow, the fact that it was snowing. But you had a third-place starter who was third. I think she was third-place starter, if not fourth, maybe. Okay.
You're talking about Caitlin Gregg?
Yeah. And then from the U.S. team, Jesse Diggins was second from 37th place. And the Swedish lady was 47 starting and won the race. And she was in amongst all the top stars. And so everybody talks about wax, but 95% of the speed of a ski is from the ski itself, flex and camber. Then you get the other 5% for the base, the grind, and the wax. So Caitlin Gregg and Diggins, the whole girls team, all those four girls were in the top 15, you know. And Keegan wasn't the hottest thing on snow all winter. She had some things here and there, but not like she. So they hit the wax and they hit the skis. The Norwegians could be as bad as they hit the wax, but they didn't hit the skis. For sure. I mean, they were 2 and 3 minutes apart behind. I mean, it's, they were like they're from Brazil or somewhere. They were so bad. But I was amazed at the fact that they all finished the race. So, about the three Russian boys. Could happen.
Before we get to the three Russian boys, right?
I get the feel, their results are spotty enough to take the big look off of them. You know, they're getting all the stuff's going on, but I can tell you, I want to know what the tentacles of that Russian machine looks like. I mean, it looks pretty goddamn big right now, but it's only inside of one sport that we know of. How are they going to, you know, everybody's going under the rocks now, trying to hide from these guys because they're going to start branching out and looking around at all different sports over there.
Like specifically about this 10K race in Falun, do you feel like the women's results in the past, Olympic cycle, you know, they've obviously improved significantly, not necessarily in Sochi, but last year and the year leading up to Sochi, there's just been a marked improvement of top 10 results. You know, do you attribute that to a cleaner field in addition to, you know, better training, better coached, better equipment, what have you, for the U.S. women?
I can tell you one thing, that the U.S. women are doing all that they're doing with a lot less money than everybody else, but they're scraping it together somehow to pull it off. I think there's a whole bunch of things, like you mentioned, that are going on that it's a cleaner field. I mean, take a look at the, you know, I could believe that there are some Russians that might be doping, but their women's programs, it's in the shitter. It's in the trash bucket. Take a, tell me when they, I mean, tell, they're not, when they have a relay now, they're 6-7, 5-6-7 as a team. You would think that with the strength of their program, they'd have at least 4 or 5 girls that could be looking at a medal, but they aren't. The men are all over, the men are all over the place. I thought a couple of years ago that they really had sprinting by the short hairs. They're not, you know, they have a guy now and then, leg off. I mean, there's nobody setting the pace all the time in their program. I mean, they could, I don't know if they would try to make that happen so people, but they're not winning.
My question would be to you is that, do you think that that's purposeful? Like, well, let's not draw attention to ourselves. Let's pick and choose.
That's where I'm getting to, but that's not what they want. You know, that they want to win. That's how they're, you know, they see their country being exposed to the world. We are the winners, and they aren't doing that. I mean, they're just good cross-country skiing nation now, like everybody else. You would think that they would be potentially at the top because they have, what, 600 million people or whatever the hell it is. So they have a bigger talent base, but also they field more sports than most nations do. So those talented athletes go other places. But the whole thing for me, Jason, is that communications is a big thing now with all the social media. Nothing, everything is out there. Used to be you never knew what the hell anybody was doing. Now you know what everybody's doing. Everybody's bragging about this bike ride, this hill climb, that going to work. You know, you can go to Russian workouts on YouTube all the time. You know, their famous rock workout and see Legoff doing this in Dachstein and. I mean, it's, you see everything.
Okay. So I do have a couple more questions. One is, you know, from your perspective, how far back do you think we should go, in terms of testing, blood samples from, you know, Olympic Games or World Championships?
Anything they've got. Okay. As far back as they've got that stuff. They need to test it, and they need to identify the honest athletes who should have been in those places. That's what I feel. And if they can incriminate any coaches or any medical people along the way, do it.
So no real statute of limitations then?
I don't know if there is or not, but for me, I want there to be no statute of limitations. I want all those guys penalized, identified as cheats.
Okay, next question. Is from a either a fan's perspective or, you know, you have a unique perspective. When you see the Norwegians dominating like they did last year, specifically on the women's side, does that raise any red flags for you?
I think they have history on their side. I would think they scrutinize themselves so that kind of thing doesn't happen. In other words, they probably test the hell out of their people. But, you know, if there's anybody who has secrets still, it's them. But you know, I was at the coaches' symposium for the U.S. ski team. They had a new Norwegian junior coach in there.
This fall in Lake Placid?
Yeah, in Lake Placid. And he was, in my estimation, if they're doing anything, I mean, his opening remark was, how much longer is diagonal around for? And he's talking specifically racing. And they are putting a bigger emphasis on double pulling. Bigger. Huge percentage of their training is focused around double pulling. Technique. Strength, specific strength.
In your eyes, like the minimalization or the, you know, minimizing striding, is that a positive evolution or a negative evolution in your eyes?
You don't have a choice. It's like when the pole vault came, the Fosbury flop. How do you say no? You can't do it. They tried to stop skating. I was a part of that whole mess. It's a natural evolution of the sport and the athletes. And it just amazes me. One of the things that came out in that seminar, and another thing in the World Track and Field Championships, of course, we don't, doping could be involved, but I don't think so. But anyway, they have a kid, young junior kid, that's the age of 17, under the direction of his father, who probably would be a level one or two coach in Norway, whatever. Did 1,000 hours of training 2 years ago.
How's he doing?
What?
That's a lot of hours.
So, and at these races that the your ski team was at, he was in a junior class. He was eighth in the junior class, 18 years old. He's got two more years as a junior. Okay, at the World Track and Field Championships, who won the marathon?
I don't know. I'm assuming. I'm just going to guess.
How old was he?
Oh, I would say a Kenyan or an Ethiopian and probably a male, like late 20s, early 30s maybe. I don't know.
How about late teens?
Really?
Yes.
A guy?
Guy. Scary. Now, you start to think about drugs, and you better hope that you're chasing that guy down after the race, but it happened. It happens. I think the Norwegians, I mean, you can cite the girls, but the boys weren't that far behind. I mean, none of us has that focus. Everything, I mean, our kids come home, and they, you know, they can go anywhere in the country and nobody knows them. In Norway, those kids can't go anywhere without being known. Tons of them. And they, you know, the country's so small and there's so much television coverage. That's the one big advantage I think they have. They have the television coverage. And it's right there in front of them. They see the racing. They see how hard they race. I mean, they get all kinds of feedback and excitement and, you know, represent your country and, you know, the battle to get to the top. It's huge, huge. And so I give them the benefit of the doubt. The other thing, I'm going to throw this in, and you'll figure out where to use it or how to use it. But so this testing thing. So they have out of competition testing. So I watch the tweets and Twitters or whatever you want to call them, and the two Canadians, Kershaw is now in Norway, so I don't hear from him, or not that I hear from him, but Babakov puts up, you don't know who was at my house at 6:30 this morning, do you? Okay? Doping control. So the guy, the Austrian guy who got caught at Sochi for the 50K or what, he didn't... He had been tested that summer 17 times, same time of day, every day, every time he was tested. Same time of day, same time of day. And he knew that his drugs clear by in a six or eight hour time frame, had a window like that. So he just took his drugs so that they wouldn't match up with the time he's coming. He went home to train during the Olympics. And they went and tested him at home at a different time of day, and that's how they caught him. Okay? So those guys aren't really doing out of competition. It's out of competition. But they test at the same time all the time. So, you know, you don't have an advantage. I mean, like you say, and I'm, you know, so professional. Everybody knows everything about these. Back then, not so much was known, but now it's known. So the Norwegians could be doping, and they could have a system where the information is coming as to when they're going to be tested. Not supposed to, but, you know, pretty soon they see it happening every day, and maybe they only use it for training. Is that a possibility?
What would be three recommendations you would give to the powers that be to, you know, let's just assume, I'm just making the assumption that there's some doping going on in skiing.
There is doping going on and always be going on because of the money. I mean, this whole.
What would three recommendations you might give to clean up?
Okay, my recommendations would be, first of all, there's only a one time, you only get one chance. You do that and you're out of the sport. Get rid of them. Because here's what happens. And this is happening in this. I have done not a lot of research on this commission report, but same thing. No matter what level you're talking to, I'm not involved. What are you talking about? I don't have a clue. Everybody lies. Everybody lies. Everybody lies. It must be the meat I'm eating. Oh, it's this food or that food or blah, blah, blah. So everybody lies. So the penalty has to be so stiff that they don't want to take the chance. And the other thing is they've got to figure out how to get a hold of all these people who over the years have let these results be thrown out the door. That, you know, you're positive, but for some reason, oh, there's a mistake in the lab, or blah, blah, all this kind of stuff goes on. Can't happen. Got to tighten up the labs. Oh, the other thing that I think will end up being changed, but I would, you cannot have your athletes being tested in your country by your people. Okay? I mean, that's how that whole system, that's the way it is now. You're tested by Ethics Canada, and then they have their lab, approved lab, blah, blah, blah. But you don't know who's getting paid under the table. So it has to be a more, like in football now with this concussion thing, they have people that are there at the game, medical people who have no affiliation with the team whatsoever. They are there as straight medical people to make that evaluation. So that there's not a chance that the athlete's going to get back in the competition. It's the way it has to be with the testing. It has to be independent labs with independent people. And, you know, the other thing that I would like to see happen, but that's outside of WADA's power, but I'm not sure, and I don't think they're in favor of this. In Italy, when it became a crime, you could go to jail. The coach Fenoy said to Dave Woods, who was the Canadian coach at the time, said, "We don't dope anymore because we can go to jail." So I want it to be a criminal act.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yep. Take care. Talk to you. Bye. Yep, bye.